This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Its journey was launched a month ago by 30,000 women in Brazil, and local women's groups have shepherded it through South America, transported it to Haiti and Cuba, and handed it across the border between Honduras and El Salvador. Soon it will arrive here in Vancouver. It's the Women's Global Charter for Humanity, and it is a feminist platform and vision statement that was developed collectively by women in 164 countries. Now the charter is being relayed around the globe to draw attention to women's struggles and to promote alternatives for a better world. Nancy Burrows is the international liaison for the World March of Women, the organization that coordinated the creation of the charter and the relay to promote it. And she's joined me by phone from Montreal. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
Developing a shared vision statement, it's often a very difficult thing to do, even for people who are all based, let's say, in the same organization or community. So how was it arranged that women around the world were able to participate and draft this charter together?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to say that the World March of Women is an international movement, a feminist grassroots women's movement that has existed since 1998. So we have a certain history of working together. In the year 2000, we organized actions all around the globe, and in particular met with the World Bank and IMF and United Nations leaders in October 2000. So we have a history of working together as a movement. In 2003, we held an international meeting in India where we decided that in 2005 we wanted to have another year of joint actions. And so the charter was, it was decided then that we would build a Women's Global Charter for Humanity. And the process that we used, there's almost 6,000 participating groups around the world, and we sent, we had a process of sort of back and forth of sending out a draft to the 6,000 participating groups, and many of them held local popular education activities on the first draft, and then sent our comments back, and then we sent a second draft to the national coordinating bodies. In about 75 countries, there are coordinating bodies for the World March of Women, coalitions that have come together to work jointly on the actions. And so we had two or three different back and forth drafts and things like that, and we came together in Rwanda in December to adopt the final version. And anybody who's been to any meetings where adoption of documents are involved knows how difficult it is to agree on common language, and definitely in an international and intercultural and multilingual setting, there were a lot of challenges involved in the task. But I think that the way that the process, it was almost a 2-year process in building up the charter, I think that it certainly made it a lot easier when it came to actually adopting the final version.
Yes, I was just going to ask you, because there are terms that we might use, let's say, here in Canada or in the English-speaking part of Canada, which may not convey exactly the same meaning of relationships, particularly when we're dealing with that, power relationships, personal relationships, for other parts of the world. So that is a real challenge to get the commonality of meaning with maybe a variety of linguistic devices.
Definitely. And we always work in French, English, and Spanish as our three main working language in the World March of Women. So the adoption, even the plenary sessions of adopting the charter, as you can imagine, with simultaneous interpretation and stuff, is very difficult because of the way sometimes the words can be translated differently in different language. And as you say, even in the same language, the French that is spoken in Quebec isn't the same that is spoken in Burkina Faso, and the Spanish that is spoken in Spain isn't the same as is spoken in Argentina. And so there's a lot of negotiation around what type of terminology can we use that means the same thing for everyone, not to mention the political differences as well and the diversity on that level, to how do we find common terms that will be able to work in all of our contexts.
Now, I phrased the initial question around a shared vision, a statement of a shared vision, but is there also a shared analysis of the roots of women's struggles in this document?
Definitely. Well, as far as the vision goes, the way that the Global Charter is set up as a document that's proposing alternatives to build another world. It's sort of our feminist utopia. What is the world that we are trying to build? And it's based on five values: equality, solidarity, justice, peace, and freedom. And so that's sort of the framework in which we see a just and egalitarian world being built around those five values. And as far as the analysis, one of the things, the World March of Women as a movement has two themes that we work on, the issue of violence against women, and the issue of poverty. And so as an analysis over the past 7 or 8 years, we have come up with one of, I think, the strengths that we have is using the analysis around patriarchy as a system oppressing women, and analysis around capitalism as a system that enables a minority to exploit the vast majority of women and men, and to take those two systems and also explore how they work together, how they feed off each other, how they reinforce each other, patriarchy and capitalism, and also to point how they are rooted in and work hand in hand with racism, with homophobia, with imperialism, how they breed fundamentalisms. And so that is sort of the root of the analysis of the World March of Women, and out of which is stemmed the Global Charter for Humanity. So that's sort of the common analysis that the different groups of the World March of Women have.
And what about poverty and its links with violence against women?
Well, exactly. The whole thing, in a lot of countries, the women's movement has often groups that are involved in poverty aren't necessarily working on issues of violence against women, and vice versa. And so in a lot of contexts, the coming together as a World March of Women has enabled those groups to come together and work together. And also, as far as the analysis, it's important to be able to link up the analysis, the impact of poverty on violence against women and the impact of violence against women on poverty, the links between those systems are important to be made. And that's the root of our analysis, really.
So there's a vision and there's an analysis. Does the document and this project aim to also develop a plan of action?
Yeah, the way that the Charter is seen is in so many different contexts around the world, women's groups are, all around the world, women's groups are involved in many different struggles, and the Charter is seen as a way of bonifying and strengthening the struggles that are already done. So in different countries, for instance, we don't have an international plan of action. We have 17 world demands that were formulated for 2000, and that's what we shared to the leaders of the IMF, the World Bank, and the UN, and that remains an important part of our political platform, the 17 demands, so that's sort of a platform of action. And also in different countries, like there are different national demands, for instance, the way that it's translated. So what are our priorities in Canada? What are our priorities in Mexico? What are our priorities of action of the women's movement around the world? And the Charter is a way of reinforcing those local and national plans of action with a common vision of women around the world.
Could you give some examples? It might be from Canada, it might be from some other country, of how this charter would be used to support place-specific plans of action.
Mm-hmm. Well, to give an example, for instance, in Mexico, in the state of Chihuahua, they're going to be using the charter to highlight the feminicides, the hundreds and hundreds of young women who have disappeared or who have been found brutally raped and murdered. I don't know if there's been a lot of information in Vancouver on that, but I certainly know that in Quebec we've talked about a lot, Ciudad Juarez and other places in Chihuahua. And the women there are going to present to the governor the charter and to reinforce their quest for justice and inquiries, because there's impunity as of now. There haven't been any inquiries into the disappearance of almost 900 women over the past 10 years. That's an example in Mexico. In Portugal, the issue of abortion is a very important one, because not only is abortion illegal in Portugal, but women who are caught having clandestine abortions are imprisoned. And so the women in Portugal are going to be using the charter in that struggle, and there are also going to be activities all across the country in schools using the charter as education on women's rights within the school process. That's another example. Another one would be in Japan, for instance, where they are they've produced signature cards to have massive signatures in solidarity with Korean women, because in the relay, which I guess I'll talk about later, the Japanese women are passing the relay to Korea. And within the context right now in Japan, they're is a proposal to repeal Article 9 of their constitution, which will allow for remilitarization of the country. And so the women in Japan are very involved in the peace process there and in trying to ensure that that doesn't happen. And so they're going to be using it and also in solidarity with women in Korea. Another example in Africa, for instance, would be the Great Lakes region of Africa, where the women in Burundi, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and also Rwanda are organizing joint actions on peace in the region and also the importance of women's role as peacemakers in the region. So that's some examples of how the Charter, which is a large visionary document, is being used in very particular contexts.
That's inspiring. Could you tell us a bit about the relay? Because we've talked about the charter that is being moved as a document around, but tell us a little bit more about how that's working.
Well, the idea of the relay, as you mentioned earlier, was launched in Brazil. I was fortunate enough to be in São Paulo for the launching activities, and there were 30,000 of us in the streets for the launching of the charter. There's the relay of the charter, so started in Brazil and is working its way around the world until October, where it ends up in Africa. And we are passing on, many of the activities are happening at borders to show how women's struggles and women are united across and over the lines that may divide us. And the charter is being, like a scroll of the charter is actually a banner of it, is actually physically being relayed around the world. And we are also building a solidarity quilt at the same time. So each country, as the charter moves on, is adding one square of an artistic sort of vision of either one of the values in the charter or the charter in general. And that quilt is being built progressively as it comes along. So after it left Brazil, there was an action on the border with Argentina, and then it moved to Bolivia. There was a border action Bolivia-Peru, then Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Haiti. You mentioned earlier as it's moving on. So it's coming, it's in Mexico right now, and there will be border actions between Mexico and the United States, between Texas and Chihuahua. And from then it's going to Seattle. And while it will be traveling from Texas to Seattle, there's going to be also an event in Washington. There's a U.S. Women in Solidarity with Cuba event, and that's where they're going to be doing the U.S. square of the quilt, and it will all be moved to Seattle. And then it arrives in Vancouver on May 1st. There's actually at 10 o'clock going to be an action at the Peace Arch, and then a caravan moving from the Peace Arch to Vancouver, and there will be a gathering at Vancouver Public Library at 11:30 on May 1st. And that action is to a celebration of the arrival of the Charter in Canada and to highlight the Canadian demands. And it's going to be a festive gathering with music and art and speakers and entertainment and face painting and things like that. And that's in Vancouver on May 1st. And then from then it's moving to Yellowknife, Winnipeg, Ottawa, Moncton, and then Quebec City. And from then it's moving to Turkey and Greece are doing a joint action. It's going through about 15 different European countries. There's going to be a large European gathering in Marseille on the 28th and 29th of May. And after Europe, it's going to Oceania, New Caledonia, Australia, Japan, Korea, the Philippines, Laos. There's going to be joint action between Burmese and Thai women. And then it's moving to India. And India and Pakistan, there's actually going to be an action on the border of India and Pakistan, which is quite incredible. And then Azerbaijan, Jordan, Lebanon, I'm probably missing some of the countries, but Tunisia, in Jerusalem, there's going to be joint Israeli and Palestinian women action in Jerusalem. From then it's going to Sudan, the Great Lakes region, then Mozambique, South Africa, Cameroon, Niger, Guinea, Senegal, Mali, and it ends in Burkina Faso on October 17th, which is the International Day for Elimination of Poverty. So,
don't you wish that you could be traveling with it all the way?
Definitely, definitely.
It's very exciting.
But actually, on our website, which is www.worldmarchofwomen.org, there's a red button that takes you to a part of our website where you can actually follow the charter and on its journey, and you can already see the different squares of the quilt that have been added on, and there are photos from the different events. So even though we can't all follow it physically during the 8-month journey, there's a way to at least follow it online, which is good. So, and for those of you in Vancouver, you have the chance as well of going to the event at the Vancouver Public Library at 11:30 on May 1st.
I'll be there. So thanks a lot for speaking with us, Nancy.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Nancy Burrow. She's the international liaison of the World March of Women. As she said, the world relay of the World's Global Charter for Humanity is going to arrive in Vancouver Sunday, May 1st. And it's there's an event to celebrate its arrival. It's being organized by the Canadian Association of Sexual Assault Centers. The event will be held in the South Plaza of the Vancouver Art Gallery starting at 11:30 a.m. on May 1st. And if you'd like more information on the event, you can call 876-2622. And if you'd like more information or follow the charter as it circles around different countries and what women in those different places are doing concretely about the charter, you can check www.worldmarchofwomen.org, or you can, that's a trilingual site, you can get it in French, English, or Spanish.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.